Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yeshua, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and what we're doing here these days is we're going through the Bible, book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse. Today we're going to continue in the Book of Romans. We've made it all the way to chapter 7 of Romans. So I'm going to just jump in there as soon as I tell you. If you're joining me, if you're new to the program, if you've missed the first part of this study in the Book of Romans up through chapter 7, you can go to the website there at crosstheborder.org and you'll see the last week's programs are posted there. If you scroll down a little bit, and all of the study in Romans, we have done it in 6 hours on 3 days this week. So the last three programs are there posted for you in the most recent week's programs, and this program will be up there a few hours after it's done today. Also, you'll find other Bible studies there, starting with the book of Genesis, and I suggest that everyone start there in the book of Genesis and just follow all of the studies through as you have time. Download them on your iPod. Listen to them while you're working, you know, rather than listening to the idolatry of romance music where they worship the lovemaking of men and women continually all day long. Why would you want to fill your mind with romantics dribble instead of the Word of God? So there you have it. Download. All of the programs are free to download. All of the Bible studies are free to download. Like I said, download them to your iPod. Listen to them all day, or listen to one study a day or one segment a day. But do get the Word of God into your head. And don't be satisfied with that. Make mental notes or make actual physical notes, you know, jot some notes down as you're listening throughout the day when you can grab a pencil and look some things up. Check me out. And if you want to email me on anything having to do pertaining to the studies, you're more than welcome to. You'll find an email link there at the website crosstheborder.org. So do email me and be sure to put on the subject line Cross the Border or Nicholas or something indicating what the email is, like a question about the book of Romans or comment, or just put my name or Cross the Border and that'll be fine. Okay, we're going to pick up here in chapter 7 of Romans where we left off. Know you not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. Well, of course, Paul is writing. This is some years after the Messiah appeared on the scene and he ascended to be with the Father. Israel, national Israel, is dealing with that at this time. Many are deciding what they're going to do with this Messiah. Many thousands followed the Messiah and became his followers, the followers of the way, or they became the Nazarenes or whatever you would call them, the original sect of Israel, of national Israel, which were obedient to the scriptures and followed the Messiah, and the rest who were disobedient, too skeptical or too scared to follow the Messiah, well, they were dealing with it too. And so that's the scene we find ourselves in. Paul writing, of course, to the Romans during this time, and knowing what is coming up with the Romans, the Roman government, that is, which will go in and, as the sword of the Lord, destroy Jerusalem and Palestine and Israel as a nation. Of course, all of those obedient to the Messiah, those obedient to the Torah, they would all have fled by now, given the prophecy and the word of the Messiah who told them to flee when they saw certain signs to avoid the desolation, because that abomination which maketh desolate had occurred, and the desolation was determined, and it was going to come with a flood, just as Daniel the prophet foretold in his prophecies. So here we are, Paul's writing to the Romans, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth." And apparently there were those among the Romans who knew the law, and perhaps there were even those of the Judaism or the Judaistic religion, and I would warn people not to mistake the ism with the true faith of Israel, because the true faith of Israel would those who believe in the Torah, who believe in the Bible, whereas the religion of Judaism, well, they had other writings, and Yahshua, Jesus, referred to those as some as the traditions of the elders. So they had other writings, the Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud, they had writings like the Kabbalah and other writings that they followed that guided the religion of the Jews, which was Judaism. But there was the pure faith of the Hebrew people, which would follow only the Torah. And those of us who continue in that pure faith today, yes, we follow the Torah, and we have in the New Testament writings the confirmation of everything that was written there. The Old Testament books confirm the New, and the New confirm the Old. There are no contradictions there. There's no new faith or religion there. It is the same thing, but there is new revelation there. Of course, there is mysteries revealed there. So that's what we have with the advent of the Messiah and the writings of the apostles and the prophets of the New Testament era. So he says, "Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth." So that seems to go contrary to what they're preaching today in the corporate church when they say the law is nailed to the cross. And they hate God's law. And the reason they hate God's law is because they want to continue to break his law, except for those certain commands. You know, like they command you to tithe. Now, one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt tithe. No, I don't think so. But anyway, they like that one. They want everyone to tithe to their corporate structure, so they can have their pensions, their salaries, and their medical plans, and they can retire with lots of money. And of course, upkeep all of their big corporate buildings and make their payments to the banks, you know, for their corporate loans that they have. So it's very important that you tithe to these people if you're one of them. You have all that infrastructure and to support. So they like that one. Thou shalt tithe. Another one they like is thou shalt not commit adultery, because they don't want you messing around with their wife. So it's kind of a pick and choose. We know the law is nailed to the cross out there, all you corporate church people, but, you know, we get to pick and choose now. So the law is nailed to the cross, except for the ones we pick and choose. So there's a contradiction there. There's a hypocrisy there that is glaring, which most people seem to ignore because they just buy into the line. You know, they're all programmed little robots. The law was nailed to the cross. If you follow the law, you're a legalist, but I shall tithe and I shall not mess with the pastor's wife. Yes, you can't see the hypocrisy and the contradiction there. Then you have to be blind or really well programmed. And I'll tell you what, they are very good at programming the people, because I was programmed too by them at one time. But then I started reading the Bible and getting washed by the water of the Word, and all that programming started to get washed away, because I started reading going, you know, this doesn't add up. What they told me isn't in the Scripture, or the Scripture says the opposite. So I'd rather have my mind washed. I'd rather have my brain washed by the water of the Word to wash out all that bad programming and all of the things of darkness wherein I walked before I was renewed in my mind and my spirit by the Spirit of our Heavenly Father. So we continue in Romans here. Paul's zeroing in, so we'll pick it back up here. So the law has dominion over a man as long as he liveth. Verse 2, for the woman which has a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. So he's drawing an illustration of how the law has dominion over man as long as he liveth. And of course, man is generic. It refers to mankind, which includes women and children, everyone that is born a man. So the law has dominion over a man as long as he liveth, for the woman which has a husband is bound by the law of her to her husband as long as he liveth. See, that's what you call a godly marriage. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. You know what? 100% compliance with what Yahshua, Jesus, said. Paul here again to illustrate it one more time that he is in 100% compliance. So those critics that want to throw out the Pauline doctrines, because I believe that, he spells out some things that people don't like. Because, you know, Yahshua never addressed the head covering issue for men and women. Yes, there's head covering rules for men, and there's head covering rules for women. Men, you are to remove your head covering in the assembly. That's right. That's the head covering rule for men. And of course, there's a head covering rule for women. They should have their head covered. It's a sign. It's a very important sign. It's a sign of obedience to our Creator. And you know what? Paul said to the angels, but we'll get to that when we get to that. Let's continue here. So then, if while the husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. Like I said, Yahshua said the same words when he was addressing the issue. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, you are also become dead to the law, by the body of Christ. He's drawing the illustration here that because we enter into the death and resurrection of Christ by faith, that's right, we enter by faith into the death and resurrection of the Messiah, the promised Redeemer of mankind. So we're reckoned dead to the law. And that's how we're reckoned dead to the law. It's not that the law is dead, it's that we are dead to the law. Because of his blood. And only because of his blood. You know, I like what Paul says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid! He said, is the law dead? God forbid. He said we establish the law, rather, by faith, we establish the law. Paul is spelling it out clearly here in a very long, detailed, and drawn out exposition of what it means to walk by faith and how you mesh that with the fact that we are dead to the law and the fact that our sins are forgiven. So how are we to act? Do we now continue in sin? No, God forbid. Is the law dead? No, God forbid. We establish the law through faith. That's what Paul's saying. You know, read the whole thing. I hate these people who pick a verse out here and a verse out there and go, wow, look at all the contradictions in Paul. You need to read the whole thing. It is all one letter. Paul did not put chapter divisions and verse divisions into the book. Those were put there later. Nah, they are not the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They were put there by men for our sake so that we can reference the work. Those are reference points only. And I like them. I'm glad the reference points are there because I could say Romans chapter 7 and verse 3. That's all the reference point is for. But we read the whole letter as a whole. And of course, he goes from one topic to another, but there is a general theme throughout several sections of the letter or the book. And the theme here is dealing with the law and how it applies to us. How are we to act because we are dead to the law because we've died in Christ. We have entered into his death, burial, and resurrection by faith, so we're making us dead to the law, and that's the grace that God gives us. But if we trample that grace and we embrace sin and unrighteousness, guess how fast we will be back out of the kingdom of God. Like I said, and Paul said it well, he who endures to the end shall be saved. Work out your salvation with trembling and fear. The kingdom of God is not like the kingdoms of men. It's not like Nazi Germany. It's not like America. It's not like Stalin's Russia. It's not like so many countries on earth where you have to have permission or you have to have your papers in order to enter and to leave. Well, yes, you do have to have your house in order to enter. Here's how you enter the kingdom of God. You get on your knees. You can do it standing, but spiritually speaking, you get on your knees before the king and you say, I'm a sinner. I recognize my sin. I am sorry for my sin. I want to go forward from this point in my life and sin no more. Please accept me into your kingdom, Heavenly Father, by the blood of your Son who washes away my sin. And you know what? Then you're in his kingdom. But he is going to judge your heart. He knows whether those words are truly heartfelt and heart-meant. And then you're in his kingdom, just like that. But then you might endure for a little while, and then you might miss all of your old ways, and you might decide that you love the ways of darkness more than the ways of light. And you may turn back and be out of his kingdom, but it'll be your choice, because he's not a tyrant. He's not going to kick you out, but he's not going to keep you from leaving, and he's not going to lock you in. He's going to allow you to leave. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. He didn't say, you will never leave me or forsake me. That's why Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. He who endures till the end. Where do we endure? We endure in his kingdom to the end. Then we're saved. Some endure for a little while. Read the parable of the sower. You know, look that up in your e-sword. The parable of the sower. And read it. And read it with understanding. Ask him to open the eyes of your mind and your heart that you may understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And it's not a kingdom in the flesh, as some would have you believe. Otherwise, what would be the mystery? What would be hidden from the world and those who don't believe and those who do not draw near to the Heavenly Father when he calls? Scripture says, many are called, but few are chosen. And that's simply because few answer the call, and then fewer still endure. So indeed, it is always and has always been a remnant in the earth of his true followers, the true ecclesia, those who choose to abide in his kingdom and have him as their king and reverence and love and embrace his law, knowing and desiring only to do those things which please the King of heaven. So we become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. See, and if you're not bringing forth fruit unto God, I think you missed a few steps in that line, that succession that he's talking about. Let me read it again. And he draws the illustration about a husband, the law having dominion over a man. A woman is bound to her husband as long as her husband liveth, but if the husband be dead, so then if her husband liveth, she's married to another, she shall be called an adulteress. He's trying to build up for this illustration here. And he says, wherefore, my brethren, so that you understand what I'm going to say now, wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. And there it is, to bring forth fruit unto God. If you are married to Christ, if you are dead to the law by his body, by faith you have entered into his death and resurrection, you will bring forth fruit unto God. And what is the fruit of God that we bring forth unto God? Well, it's the fruit of repentance. It's the fruit of righteousness. It's the fruit of the Spirit. What is that? Love, joy, peace, self-control? Against such there is no law? That's the fruit that we bring forth unto the King of heaven. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. We talked about how we're all born with the death sentence. Yes, like Adam and Eve, they received the sentence, "You shall surely die." Well, yes, we all shall surely die. Our mortal bodies shall surely die. But by the grace that we're given from Jesus, the Messiah, Yahshua, we shall not surely die. Yes, our flesh, our mortal flesh, shall surely die. But if we endure in his kingdom to the end, we shall surely live. That was the promise, and that is the promise. And that requires faith, because we still have to live in this mortal flesh and endure till the end. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. Romans chapter 7 and verse 6, "But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter." What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. "Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all matter of concupiscence, for without the law, sin was dead." We're going into a short break here. You're listening to Cross the Border. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.